Welcome again to Grace Baptist Church for our time of Bible study here, our Sunday school. Today we want to deal with the grace of God. As the Bible begins in an early chapter, we see Noah found the grace of God, Genesis chapter 6. And the very last statement in the Holy Scriptures says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Revelation 21, 21. After that statement, it says, "Amen." This benediction, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." That benediction is not addressed to all humanity without exception. It is addressed to whom the letter was written. Revelation 1:1 speaks of the willful servants of Jesus Christ, their Lord. These people are also referred to as God's elect in the same and only Holy Scriptures. Now, you know, most people reject such teaching and mock it as unfair and unloving. The actual elect of God, those people chosen by God in eternity, rejoice and are glad in such truth, which reveals these called out people and the revelation of Jesus Christ to them. And Christian, if you're a Christian today, you are what you are by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Today, let's take another look at the grace of God. What does it mean, and how is it manifested? How is it applied to God's people? First, we need to deal with what grace means in reference to God. And to be truthful, there is no real and pure grace in humanity apart from God. We will see that clearly taught in the Bible in this message today. Today we are going to look at the Hebrew word translated in the Old Testament as grace 38 times and 26 times as favor. In the New Testament, listen to this, this is interesting. In the New Testament, the words grace and favor are translated from the exact same Greek word every time we see them, every single time. And of course, the translation I am referring to is the King James Version, and most often I read from the New King James Version. The text that I'm going to use today will refer to grace, favor. And folks, where you see those words, you could use either one. Where we see the word grace, we could use the word favor. Where we see the word favor, you could accurately use the word grace. Try it. See, you'll find it to be true. Now, from that, we can see that the most fitting overall meaning of grace when we see it is, in fact, favor. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now I would ask you to buckle up the seat belts of your minds and please pay the closest of attention to the following in what grace means. Grace is favor, and favor in the Holy Scriptures means, in reference to God, favor means God shows partiality to his elect, which includes facilitating their success in believing the gospel. In other words, enabling them to believe by and through grace. You'll find that in Acts 18:27. Now, of course, if you're a student of the Bible, what I've just said will be countered by many professing Christians with four different texts in the New Testament clearly stating that God is not a respecter of persons. He is no respecter of persons. So how do I use that when we have just said God shows partiality to his elect? If you care to look at the four instances I said we would see God is no respecter of persons, look to Romans chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, Ephesians chapter 6, and Colossians chapter 3. Now, I give the chapter and not just a particular verse because you need to read the context of the person spoken of in those scriptures. And then note their position and their condition among humanity. Now, the answer to this seemingly apparent contradiction is simple and brief. In Strong's Concordance, and I also looked to Moulton's Greek lexicon, the Greek word translated respect of persons and respecter of persons means, now listen, to respect or show partiality to persons based on the external condition of the person. The external condition of the person. That is what respecter of persons means. And that refers to wealth, fame, looks, etc. And of course, the etc. needs to include race and nationality. Now, friends, God does not show partiality based on such things. Indeed, the scripture makes clear that God's favor is dealt to all kinds of persons. God's elect sing a song in heaven containing the following words addressed to Christ. You'll find this in the Revelation. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred, every kind, and language, and people, and nation. There are no human beings from these people that we just mentioned, just named, that God does not include in those who are his elect ones. And God does not base his choice of whom he will save upon anything in humanity, but according to his own purpose, while working all things according to the counsel of his will. Yes, God's grace is sovereign grace. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read in Ephesians chapter 1, first 11 verses, and then we'll move to Ephesians chapter 2. I pray that by the Spirit of God you're listening and he's applying this to your hearts and minds. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, blessed the saints, Christians, the elect, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, you would be wise if you would attend to last week's Sunday school message, in Christ. And I'm not going to say shame on you if you haven't watched that or listened to it. Very, very important to what we do today. Just as He, God the Father, chose us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated us, the saints, to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us, the saints, in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us, His people, the saints, the elect, the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. And that will for us, Ephesians chapter 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together, birthed us again from above, raised us from the death of spiritual death, made us alive together with Christ by grace, by favor, you have been saved. For by grace, you have been saved. For by favor, you have been saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I will repeat, God's grace is favor. And God's favor, in reference to His saints, that's Christians, that favor shows a partiality, not based on anything in and of ourselves. This partiality is based in His own purpose, in love, whereby He enables His chosen ones to believe the gospel of Christ. Why? Why would God be partial in love towards someone like me? Maybe you will ask that question yourself. Why would God be partial in love towards someone like me? Folks, that is one of the secret things of the Lord that belong to Him alone, that are known by Him alone. This grace, this favor, is not the result of works. You cannot earn it. Romans 11:6. Listen to this. This is so plain. Romans 11:6. And if by grace, if by favor, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. Favor is no longer favor. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. In addition, Paul, through the Holy Spirit of Christ, addressed the church at Corinth in this way: for what makes you differ? In Christians, you differ from the rest. And what do you have that you did not receive? What was not given to you? Now, if you did receive it, if it was given to you, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? As if it was not given to you. Folks, you cannot earn the grace of God. You cannot earn the favor of God. Neither does anyone deserve this grace, this favor. That's one of the favorite things you'll see on television today, especially in ads. You know, you deserve to have this. You deserve to have that. Well, folks, you do not deserve the favor of God. Both Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, which I have referred to so many times, testify of the undeservedness, if there is such a word, of humanity in reference to God. No one does good. No, not one. None seek God. How much more plain can that be? To those who have been given the grace, the favor of God, the Holy Scriptures record the following spoken through Paul. For I say, through the grace given to me, he says this, through the grace given to him, to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly of oneself than you ought to think. I can remember on a visitation one night when I was in a fundamentalist church, a woman looked me square in the eyeballs and said, I'm going to have a high place in heaven because I have been good to my fellow man. God help that poor woman. Folks, no one deserves God's favor. In spite of not deserving God's favor, we see again, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Let's read that context, okay? Genesis chapter 6. Please listen closely. Now, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he indeed is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days. Now that word is Nephilim in the Hebrew, and it means fallen or mighty ones. Look it up. And also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown to other men. men of renown to other human beings. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart only evil continually. And the Lord sorrowed that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Do you remember what was said just before that? But Noah found grace, found favor in the eyes of God. Friends, Noah was just and perfect, and he walked with God after God's grace enabled him to do so. Read the text, what it said. Yes, there are those blessed of God before the foundation of the world according to the riches of his grace. Now, just how is the grace of God manifested to and in them? Where do we see this unearned, undeserved favor in the lives of human beings as revealed to us from the Holy Scripture? If you had heard last week's Sunday school, you might recall the very end of 1 Timothy 1:19, which speaks of grace, which was given to us. The us is God's elect in Christ Jesus before time began. Did you hear me? Grace that was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Folks, you were not here before time began. You were not here in the flesh. In the purpose of God, his elect have been united to Christ always. And thus, it is certain that they will be given God's favor in time and forever. In God's purpose, the elect have never been separated from Christ. That's the truth of the matter. These chosen ones from eternity will be made holy and without blame before Christ, before God. God, in love, predestinated them to be adopted by himself and made them accepted in Christ. These are the things received by the grace of God, by the favor of God. In Christ, they have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of God's favor, the riches of his grace. As I just said, of course, we have seen those spiritual blessings as we read in Ephesians chapters 1 and 2. We've also seen this partiality in God granting us to believe the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God. That's exactly what it's called in Acts 20:24. Philippians 1:29 says, "For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, for Christ's purpose, to believe in him." And the Philippian letter was addressed to whom? All the saints in Christ Jesus. All the saints united in Christ. I want to ask you a very, very important question at this point. Do you, again, don't worry about me or someone else, but you, do you have a sure hope, a sure expectation of eternal life? If so, you have a good hope through grace. 1 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given everlasting comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. What is this good hope grounded upon? Titus 3:7. Please listen. This good hope through grace, what is it grounded upon? Titus 3:7. That being justified by his grace, by his favor, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope, the expectation of eternal life. Do you expect to have eternal life? Well, if you have it now, you'll have it in eternity forever. The grace of God enables us to be justified by faith, leading to the assurance, the expectation that we have eternal life. The favor of God. Friends, if you today have an assurance, have an expectation, indeed, if you are in possession of eternal life, it's because of the grace of God, the favor of God. That assurance is the good hope of God's favor manifested in our soul. It's a spiritual thing. Another spiritual blessing given to us in Christ is the internal spiritual strength that Christians possess as supplied through God's favor to his adopted children. 2 Timothy 2:1 says this, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." If by God's favor you are united to Christ, you have it. Be strong in the grace, in the favor that is in Christ Jesus. Once again, I would recommend to you last week's Sunday school, In Christ. If you are in Christ, he is in you. By His Spirit, you have the source of strength, which comes to you in His favor to you. His grace to you. We wind down now. In the book of Acts, we are encouraged to continue in the grace of God. And Peter goes even further by instructing us to grow in grace. Of course, the true people of God should deeply desire to do both those things. Continue in God's grace. To grow in God's grace. To continue in God's favor. To grow in God's favor. Now, for those of us who do desire that, we need to see what is attested to in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, which address our weaknesses and how to deal with those weaknesses. Oh, I'm full of that, I can tell you. A more literal translation of Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16 reads this way. For we do not have a high priest not being able to sympathize with our weaknesses, but having been tested in all things by the same way without sin, speaking of Christ our high priest. Therefore, we should come with freedom of speaking. That's what that word boldly is literally meaning. The freedom to speak in the presence of God Almighty. Yes, that veil's been ripped from top to bottom. We can enter the Holy of Holies. We have the freedom to speak God one on one. With freedom of speaking, let us come to the throne of grace. The throne of grace, the throne of favor. So that we may receive mercy and find grace. Find the favor of God to help in time of need. Folks, we are in a time of need perpetually, spiritually speaking. What kind of grace, what kind of favor will we find at that throne? Listen to me. This is what we close with. According to 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Lord says, my grace, my favor is sufficient. For you, dear brothers and sisters, whatever need you have spiritually, and that's the most important thing in your life, folks. It's not the material things, it's the spiritual thing. Whatever need you have spiritually, God's favor, God's grace, is enough to meet that need.